everyone. Welcome. It's March 31st, and I'm both recording and posting this podcast today. So I hope you're doing well. We have concluded the Transurfing Reality Transurfing, whichever way you say it, sessions. Not that we won't continue in that work, we will. But today I promised that we would have sort of a pause and a meditative, contemplative exercise. And I'm looking forward to that today. I'll sort of set the stage here. Asheville is really enjoying some spring weather right now, and the world is just coming alive around me, which is so beautiful. But I just want to note that wherever you are, if you're getting a lot of snow still, if you're moving into the fall, wherever you are, just I celebrate all seasons alongside you. I've always been someone who appreciated all seasons. And even though I have a much shorter winter here in Asheville, North Carolina, now than I used to back in Wyoming, I do still resonate with that need to be still and be turned inward and to let things hibernate and sort of be at the bone stillness. And there's a time and a place for all of these movements, and they can all even be happening within us at the same time, which is quite extraordinary. And I just like leaning into that. It's increasingly becoming more about all of the work I do, just sort of this seasonal consciousness and allowing and enjoying and celebrating all of the seasons that are simultaneously happening. So my precious audience here, we're all experiencing all these seasons together and individually, and I'm so deeply grateful for each of you. And I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're noticing the pink moon. Right now we are in the cycle of the pink moon, which in the Northern Hemisphere gets its name from the fact that sort of the flocks and, you know, these ribbons of blossoms will appear just almost by overnight. And in fact, when I walked Tippi earlier today, there are some beautiful irises that come up at the edge of our driveway. And I mean, just overnight, like three of them were already leaning into a bloom. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, and I was just looking at the plant itself. I'm like, where does that even come from? Because they just look like these beautiful blades yesterday, you know, these bright green blades reaching up into the sky. But then suddenly there's these flowers, and I'm just in awe. And I hope that you're doing well. And I hope that you're in sync with whatever's happening in your life as best we can. We just do the best that we can. And you're telling yourself you're doing a great job. We've talked a lot about that in regard to the reality transurfing material. And you are doing a great job. And I'm doing a great job. And we're learning, we're learning how to better get out of our own way, how to better assist ourselves and lean into that beautiful authenticity that knows, that always knows, no matter what is going on right now. Let go, lean into that. It knows, and it's you. So there are two poems I would love to share with you today regarding the pink moon. It will be full next week on the 6th. My daughter and I are going to slip down to Savannah, Georgia for a few days next week. She wants to look at some schools, and we're just going to enjoy and be at the water a little bit. So we'll be at Tybee Island, maybe on the full moon, which would be extraordinary. And the light and just The unfurling right now is particularly delightful where I am, and I'm so grateful for that. But here are two poems that I'd love to share. I wrote this about the new moon, which obviously just passed. Strike the match, slender sickle hovering just above the mountain. The new moon is here once again. Pink moon, herb moss casting her carpet before us. The wild ground cover appears in ribbons overnight. Paradox of stillness and unfolding. Can these go together? Is the ultimate pause the start of something? How very useful to consider what is allowed. And I really like that idea about what is allowed, because I didn't know anything about reality transurfing when I wrote that poem. But it's so apropos now because I question and really am vigilant about what thoughts are rattling around in my thinking, in my head. And yeah, I'm just getting so much better at saying that's not even true. That's not true. That's not helpful. Oh, it cracks me up sometimes. And it's fun because exposing my children, to the public gaze, I'm just really proud that both of my kids are leaning into this work in their own ways and in their own pace. But it's fun to have conversations with them when they organically arise, because, we can all laugh at the pendulums that are just so part of every aspect of living, and to really feel free of that when we're awake. And my daughter even said, she's like, when I get a text from so-and-so and it starts out in such and such a way, I know they've gone back to sleep. And I so resonate with that because I had an example too. I'm like, when I get a text from this other person and it starts out this way, I know they've gone back to sleep too. And we laughed about that. Whereas before, it would be occasion to get tense and feel defensive. And it's just like a little reminder, because we are all increasingly awake, and then we'll fall asleep a bit or we'll get drowsy, meaning spiritually in terms of our alertness to being in the flow state and being awake in the dream. We all, move in and out, but increasingly we're more awake. And it's just this nice, we don't have to get all freaked out about that. We can just be like, okay, note to self, just stay really chill here because somebody might be asleep right now. And that helps. That helps right then to just sort of soften and be in your strength, be in your power. I know I've mentioned this in the past, but the distinction I make now between strength and power is really an essential one for me. Strength, I think of as coming from the Lori with the small L, meaning the person who has a storyline here and a certain body, a certain, cultural heritage, all the rest of it. The Lori with the capital L, obviously that is the link to my authentic self, and how all of the conditions of my life become harmonious and align and have a sparkle about them when my authentic self is living through the character of Lori. So Lori with the capital L is how I associate her. And of course, she's not a her. It's beyond, the human vessel. But I like thinking of that. And so strength, I sort of link with small L Lori, and power I associate with capital L Lori. And in fact, I had a massage the other day. I was gifted a massage from a good friend of mine, which I was really appreciative of this gesture, because I had watched her house and her dog while she was away. And this was a gift that she gave me along with a book, which I'm going to share a little bit from today. And she took me to a nice breakfast. So it was a nice celebration of generosity both ways. But she got me this lovely massage with a woman I had not been tended to by in the massage world yet. Here in Nashville, I have a wonderful massage therapist who I've actually interviewed on the podcast, Cassidy Walpole. But I went to this other person, and she was also amazing. Everybody sort of brings their own flavor to that work, and this woman was amazing as well. But she paused at one point while she was working on my back, and this was maybe an hour into the session, and she spoke very little, which is perfect for me because I like to really surrender to just the quiet when I'm getting massage work. And she said, in the silence there in the dark, she said, "You remind me of someone who's had to be strong for a really long time." And I'm there, you know, with my head face down in the cradle, and I just instantly tear up. And I'm like, I'm tearing up now. You can hear that. And I just said, "Yeah, that's true." And I didn't need to say anymore, and I just cried. I wasn't like sobbing or anything, shaking on the table, but I just felt these instant tears. And I was like, wow, what's that about? And of course, body work does that. You know, it definitely stirs our emotional body as well. But I just thought, let go of that habit of feeling like you need to figure all this out. You don't. It's already figured out. It's already figured out. Allow the power, the capital L, Lori, to just take over, to just be at ease, to just be relaxed and happy and listening and as awake as I can be. That old default of being strong is a deep, deep identity that I'm ready to let go of. And I'm pretty sure I've talked about that here in this space, but it was just another layer of like, yeah, I'm ready to let that bit go. I don't need to define myself as strong anymore, because if I do, then I'll get opportunities in the mirror to be strong. And I'm really over that. So I like the idea of being surrendered and getting to enjoy the whole orchestra of the universe moving on my behalf. That's power. That's loving. And it's a powerful state through which I will share and give to others. Like we talked about last time, giving from the overflow. These are my thoughts today. So this idea in this poem about what is allowed, you know, I'm going to allow myself that. And I like thinking of all the different thoughts that occur when you're being focused and vigilant about your thinking and about the messages that are rattling around. Like, what am I allowing myself? What am I not allowing myself? So keep that fruitful thought close by about allowing more for yourself. And again, you know, we have to get comfortable with new ideas that seemed so dangerous before. And that's okay. Just kind of play with it for a few days. If you can't pull in a great visualization or a great emotional feeling about it, but you like the idea, that's okay. That's where you begin. And every time I do that, it becomes more and more comfortable, or I'll find an image within a couple days' time, or I'll find a block that was, you know, sort of the fly in the ointment there, and it'll move better, and I'll be able to fancy it better, imagine it better. And so just work with what you have. It's perfect, and it will expand. And we can see why we're getting these little slices of life sometimes, because our thoughts are little slices. And that brings me to this next poem that I wrote that, again, ends with a beautiful line, which I'm associating in more ways than I knew when I wrote it. And it goes like this: this new frontier is beyond thought. Its unfolding is quick and quirky, delightfully unexpected, and yet familiar. How is this so? How does the new place know me better than I know myself? I swallow, nearing what the old prophets called rapture. This mystery wants even more from me than I want for myself. And friends, I am experiencing that again and again and again. Your authentic self wants so much for you. So the bit of discomfort that we have in staying awake and not reacting and looking at our blocks is small price to pay for what is unfolding. And with that today, you know, we talked about having sort of a contemplative mini meditation today, and I look forward to doing that with you. I've been meditating a lot recently. I mean, I always do, but I've sort of been going about it kind of with the chakras in mind again. And I know we've talked about that in the past. And it doesn't matter if you're not a yogi person or a yoga person or know anything about the chakras, that's okay. But, you know, just basically by way of reminding and referencing what that is again, it's just energy centers along your spine. And they come from the Sanskrit word meaning, I think, energy center or wheel, perhaps. But anyway, it's sort of from the Hindu tradition. And there's one at the very base of the spine that's the root chakra. It's associated with the color red. And then on up you go. The second one is the sacral orange, sort of in the abdominal area. The third one, yellow, that's the solar plexus. The heart, obviously, located at the chest, green. The blue is the one at the throat. And then the third eye, and then the crown. So following the rainbow up, and, you know, sort of the lower three are connected with our physical aspect, where they cross over in the heart and then move up into the spiritual aspects of ourselves. And meditating with those centers in mind is just a way of making sure all the aspects of your life are addressed. So that's why I like it. And, you know, whether you believe in chakras or not, it doesn't really matter. It was just a way to sort of move through a nice list, if you will, of centers so that the whole being, you know, in a 30-minute span of time is sort of communed with. And I like that idea. So that's what we'll be doing today. It won't be quite 30 minutes. It'll be a little less than that, but I will move up the spine in that way. And I want to bring about two people's work that have blessed me in the past couple weeks since I've visited with you. And that there are two people in the coaching space, and they're talking a lot about the unconscious. So that's really helpful. So they are obviously very much in the I am space as well. I don't think they're just stuck in psychology. They're really moving into that mysterious I am space in both of their work. And I really value and appreciate that. And one coach, her name is Roxanne Miranda, and you may have run across her stuff. I really like her. She's a joyous person. And she suggested something in a talk I heard online that I just hadn't thought of in this way. And when she was talking about manifesting or receiving things in the mirror, all the ways that we say that same kind of idea, she made a really great distinction that I just hadn't considered, and I wanted to offer that here. And that is that your unconscious belief system is your inner child. And that was such a pivot for me when I heard her say that. And what she was meaning by that is the things that were really difficult, the messages you got early on, is probably the message under the radar that's going off into the mirror in terms of creating your reality. So if you were not seen as a child, if you were expected to work, if you were expected to be quiet, if you were expected to follow a certain path as opposed to where your own soul wanted to take you, all of those messages, all of that container of your upbringing is likely where your subconscious, your unconscious is defaulting. Now, there's the unconscious and then there's the unconscious. There's, you know, the whole variant space, universe, matrix, quantum field that is the void and the creation cauldron, you know, that would be the unconscious with a capital U. And then there's your personal unconscious of those early messages. And I really liked that Roxanne Miranda made that connection for me in her talk, because that made a lot of sense, because I thought, okay, if there are any unconscious messages rattling around, in my instance, they probably have to do with perfection, working harder, you know, that kind of stuff. That is not an indictment of my parents. They listen to the podcast. That, I mean, we all do this. I've done this to my kids. I mean, just whatever's going on, we are just in the soup of that. And my parents at this moment wouldn't want me feeling that way at all. I know that. So it just, you know, it just is what it is. So, you know, but just to be aware, you know, my children went through a divorce. That's not something I did, you know, or experienced as a child. It's something I experienced as an adult, but my children got to experience that as children. So, you know, they've got that bit, you know, and so we all have this part of our child-like nature that had to start contorting in one way or another. And so I think that's really valuable to think, if there's anything throwing sand in the gears, it might be linked with that. You know, the unconscious with the little you, with the small you, lowercase you, not, you know, the universe or God or goddess or, you know, the quantum field, however you like to relate to that larger space of creative engine. So that was really helpful. And in fact, she took this talk, she took the participants in the talk through a meditation on up through the chakras, which actually gave me the idea, although we've done that, you and I have before. So I'm riffing a little bit off of her idea there, but I'm going to make it slightly different for what we do today. But I love how when she took us through a guided meditation that started at the base of the spine and moved up, she introduced each chakra in the meditative space by saying, I'm here to rewire. I'm here to rewire any messages that existed before. I really liked that. So if that's helpful to you, there's a great one. And then when you rewire, you introduce an I am statement for that chakra. And we may do a little bit of that in ours. We'll just see how it comes out of my mouth, because sometimes I don't know either. So I liked that idea. I'm here to rewire. I know that there might be messages going off to create a reflection in the mirror that are not in my highest interest anymore. And I want to rewire those, and then follow that with an I am statement. So in the instance of the root chakra, that would have to do with security, survival, your ability to have a home and provide for yourself, that self-sustaining quality of your life. And I really want to interject a thought here that we have this idea in the culture of providing for yourself. And what that often means is taking responsibility, working hard, and probably being a cog in the wheel of other people's pendulums that serve them. So that's where that original idea comes from. And I want to challenge that idea with self-sufficiency with the capital S means doing the work you and I are doing. And there could be no greater self-sufficiency than that, because then you're tapping in to abundance that is naturally inexhaustible and in a flow state. And you're doing that which you love. And you're having relationships flower in your midst. That is a massive gift to yourself and to the world. And the overflow that's created from that far exceeds anything you could ever do with material possessions, material, you know, forms of money or bonds or whatever, you know, your 401k, you know, if you want a 401k, have a 401k. I'm not a financial advisor here. I'm just saying challenge the way that you look at how you are providing for yourself. So to follow up with an I am statement in that region of your experience, you know, it might be I am abundant. It might be I am safe. It might be I am always in the flow of life. It might be something similar like we talked about in the transurfing sessions. My world takes excellent care of me. Something like that. So I love that idea. And then the second life coach person who really is doing a lot of work in the unconscious, his name is Chris Duncan. I think I've talked about him maybe a year ago, somewhere in there. In fact, I know I have. He's Australian. Love his work. And he really brings to bear the distinction of, am I problem solving or am I creating? Am I problem solving or am I creating? If we are in mental gears where we are trying to solve a problem, by definition, you must have a problem. That was massive for me when Chris Duncan pointed that out in the book of his I was reading. That's huge. If you are problem solving, you by definition have to have a problem. So guess what you're going to get in the mirror? A problem, a problematic situation. And you're going to be trying to solve it and trying to solve it and trying to solve it. And yeah, we see the insanity of that. Or you can be creating. And I'm going to take Chris Duncan's work one step further. So appreciative of the springboard here and him, and that I want to move even more into the mystery. And I'm going to tweak that idea a bit by saying we can be problem solving or we can be in a state of revelation. Revelation is a very biblical idea. If you grew up in a Christian-based religion, it's the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and there's often a lot of scary prophecy there and whatever. And it's been very helpful to me to see any sort of spiritual text as a psychological exercise, not something that you pin down and try to find dates and examples of externally. It's an awakening internally. And I love this idea of revelation, meaning you're revealing and reveling in your authentic self. And that is going to create something massive and beautiful and lovely in the mirror. And that is a major distinction for me, because although I love the idea of creation and we are co-creating with the quantum field when we are using the imagination and being vigilant about our thoughts and coming from a place of this is what I want to see, so this is who I'm going to be right now, and allow that to reveal itself. I like the idea of creation, but I think one hang up I've had with that is that it's starting from zero or it's starting from nothing. And maybe this is unique to me, but I think I was maybe experiencing some lack there, like, okay, I need to create something here. I got to start with nothing and create something. Okay, I'm not going to solve a problem, but I got to create something now. You know, holy shit, what? How do I do that? Whereas the idea of, I'll just let myself reveal more of myself to me, that is creating something, but it was already there. It was already there. And perhaps Chris Duncan is coming from that place. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just, you know, taking that principle of you're either creating or you are problem solving. And I'm just tweaking that a bit with you're either problem solving or you're revealing, which is a creative act because that's creating something in the mirror. But I liked relaxing into this idea of revelation because I'm already here. I'm already me and I'm just removing the filters, likely those early filters that happen in childhood that just obscure all that I am and all that I want to experience now. So I liked that. I thought that was really helpful. And let me read two more things. That friend that got me the lovely massage, she also gave me a book, which I have only just begun to read, but it's one I was unfamiliar with. I hadn't even run across this. It's called The Radiance Sutras, 112 Gateways to the Yoga of Wonder and Delight. That's a great title. By Lauren Roche, PhD. And this is such a unique and delightful and joyful book. Let me read one of the sutras here that's on the back cover. The roar of joy that set the worlds in motion is reverberating in your body and the space between all bodies. Beloved, listen. That is so beautiful. And that is our responsibility, no matter what human being we are in contact with, whether it's somebody in our dailiness or somebody we're thinking about out in the culture that's creating a lot of waves, whatever. The space between us is alive with this universal pulse as well. That being, that person is alive with that too. And just to remember that, you know, we don't have to go like do anything about that. Just remembering and not making an other and not seeing the world as evil or something we need to resist or fight. I am not glossing over the tremendous difficulties that we see happening with war and all the rest of it. I am not doing that. But we see a density of the human experience and people who are waking up to their own patterns of thinking. And the awakening is happening within us. We're not sitting around waiting for something to, you know, plop us on the head. We're enjoying ourselves more and more each day. And that in and of itself is such a beautiful blessing that has a ripple effect out into others. And where I want to go with the meditation today is sort of the best of what Roxanne Miranda and Chris Duncan were talking about. And I'll add here a reading from one of the sutras inside, and this one had to do inside the book, and this one had to do with the heart area. And I want this to be the guide for the contemplation we will do here together, let me just read this to you. This is from the Radiance Sutras. Abandon all these attitudes of wanting to prolong pleasure and avoid suffering. Let the heart be itself and feel whatever is there. Freed from clinging and avoiding, the heart regains its poise and revels in creation. Plunging deep into its center, discover that the heart is moved by a pulse that is everywhere. What I love so much about this passage is that I think the idea is hardwired into us from our earthly experience is that we got to go figure this out. We got to get our chakras aligned and we got to get them firing the way they're supposed to be firing. And I like this idea that's shared so beautifully in the language here that it knows what to do. The heart knows what to do. It will regain its poise. Just kind of let it do its thing. Let it be. Allow it to regain its balance. Allow the deep root chakra that is sending out this beacon of abundance on your behalf all the time. It knows how to send out a really strong signal. Just allow it to sort itself out. Your sacral chakra moving up, which has to do with your creativity and your reproduction and your sensuality. It knows how to right itself. And just let it, so that you're sending out the signal of, I deserve so much love in my life and I give from the overflow of that. Do you see the distinction there? I felt my heart leap up at this idea that I don't have to go around and figure all this stuff out. Clearly, this is something my little girl, you know, felt a lot of, you know, just my perfectionistic personality, that I got to figure all this out and I have to try harder to be seen and all that. And that's not me. That is not me. I predate that. And it is my responsibility to remember that and to move from that space. And tangential to that idea is that all of these beautiful chakra energy centers along the spine that cover all the areas of our life, they know how to right themselves. They know how to. We just need to let them. And that was such a beautiful and freeing thought. And that's where I want to enter this space with you now. And so I'm going to introduce some music here. And we'll just take a few minutes to move on up the spine. And in your own time and in your own contemplation, just know that when you enter that subconscious area where some of that old programming is, you can introduce the idea, I'm here to rewire some things, but that doesn't like have to be this laborious thing or this genius move on your part, meaning you have to have all the mechanics of that, just the intention that I want to flow from the space that predated any of the angst or fear or discomfort I felt early on in my human experience. And then we're just going to allow each of these centers to reboot themselves. They know how to. And I guarantee you, if all your chakras, if all the areas of your life that are covered and represented by moving up the spine in that way, if they're all rebooting and defaulting from the authentic self, you're going to be creating such beautiful experiences in the mirror world. And those signals are going to be strong, like a really impressive beacon going out into the night, into the mirror. And I love that idea for all of us. So if you're driving or doing something where you can't really sort of close your eyes and be still, just pause and come back to this. And if you're able to enter in to a quiet space for a few moments here with me, then let's do that now. So I welcome you to a realignment exercise that you already know how to do. Breathe gently with me in and out for several breaths, just to come in to your own rhythm. There's nothing to fix. Allow the gentleness of your breathing to just soothe your body and your mind and your heart. How good it feels to just breathe. And together, we're going to do a simple but powerful exploration together. As we begin at the base of the spine, and we enter the consciousness of being grounded, of being self-sufficient, of being capable, easily capable of providing for ourselves. Envision the color red and a strong signal, a strong beacon of that which predates any experience you've ever had that was limiting. Allow that strong red glow and the images that delight you about abundance about your ability to be grounded and easily meeting your needs to go out into your personal universe. Thank the red. Thank it for knowing what it already knows how to do. And we'll move gently up into the pelvic area. A warm orange glow is present here. This is your sensuality, your sexuality, your creativity, your ability to give and receive pleasure and joy. And once again, it knows exactly what to do. Relax into this beautiful orange glow. And know that it has every last detail sorted out. Right now, it's pulsing. It's sending a beautiful orange glow out into the mirrors of your experience. Thank it for being on your side 100%. And move gently up into the third region, which is yellow, which is the solar plexus region, which represents our ability to move about in the world with confidence, with surety. And once again, this region knows exactly what to do. We just let it reboot and glow and send out a strong yellow beacon into our personal universe in the delightful ways that we would like to move about with confidence and surety. Maybe that's in your business. Maybe that's in a certain hobby. Maybe that's in another form of personal expression that others see. But the beauty is that this region knows exactly what to do already. And it's glowing and it's sending out a signal on your behalf. And we thank it. It's all the wisdom we could ever need. And we move up now into the verdant green of the heart. We naturally know love because we are love. This space predates the theater of Aphrodite. This space is love and life itself. It is the glory of simply being and being held and seen just because you are. It is not looking a certain way. It is not contorting in relationship in any way. And the beauty is that this center knows exactly how to right itself. And we let it send out a signal of brilliant green, of delightful experiences that we want to experience and know. And it sends out that signal with strength and purpose and intention that we will know that because we already are that. We will experience it because it's flowing from the overflow that is our divine home. And we thank our heart and this incredible signal that already knows what to do. We do not need to search for love. We need to let it find us. Hold still. It's right there. Moving gently up into the throat area. The place from which we speak our truth, not only with our words, but with the alignment of our very life. This clear blue signal knows exactly what to do. And we let it reboot itself and watch the miracle of the clear blue light writing the images of our life so that they are in alignment with how we truthfully like to live. The truth of what we do for joy, for work. For hobbies, for relationships, the truth is embedded and shining in every one of those areas. There is great congruence and authenticity in this clear blue light, and we thank it for knowing already what to do. We move up now into the third eye region, a beautiful indigo color. It is intense only because it's powerful. It is our greatest ally in getting to experience our own revelation. We thank it because it already knows what to do. We have this purple indigo diamond refracting and reflecting on our behalf our deepest dreams, our most exquisite longings are simply the blueprint that go out from this signal so that we might experience it for ourselves. It is us coming back at us. And this brilliant indigo beacon knows exactly what to do already. No worry, no fear is required. We just gently get out of its way. And we thank it for revealing us to us. And finally, we move up into the crown of our existence, which intimately connects us to the divine. However you define that, this is your sovereign state. This is white lightning. This is the most powerful beacon of all, radiating on your behalf, loving you, supporting you. It is you. And all that it wants is for us to gently turn all the controls over. It is trustworthy. It is magnificent. It will orchestrate the arrival of all your dreams in the most miraculous and likely unusual ways. Our job is simply to stay out of its way. If you want to thank any area that we have explored again, if you would like to entertain an I am statement, with any particular region that would love your attention right now, I'll give you a moment to do so. And with that, we thank the crown of our sovereign existence. And it thanks us in return, for we need each other. We are connected. We are two parts of an experience. Two parts of a wonder of discovering ourselves, of discovering home. Allow yourself a few easy breaths as you come back into your waking self. Carrying the memory that your entire beacon of light system knows exactly what to do. It knows exactly how to broadcast into the mirror so as to receive everything in return for your chance to experience. Come gently back into the room and the space you're in. Smile to yourself. Thank you for blessing me with your presence and allowing me to bless you with mine. And until next time, take good care. Hi, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if my work is nourishing your heart and imagination, consider supporting the Apothecary Podcast. Just follow the links to make a contribution. And for the full scope of my projects and offerings, including my weekly newsletter, visit lorigreen.net.